round. Shifting the goggles so he could at least see with one eye, the leader tumbled over, desperately trying to reach the rifle on the ground. But the man who had pounced from above was already fighting Magda's former captors. Former, because the woman had fallen free when the figure in light tan charged. He stood between her and them now, quickly dodging one lumbering Gaddurfi swing after another. He leapt, he ducked, and in one more lightning move, he caught one of the weapons. He flipped backward, taking the Gaddurfi with him. Touching down, he bounded back into the fray with it. The now weaponless raider tumbled backward somehow. It didn't even look like a wrong step to the leader's only available eye, leaving the other marauder to fight on. Gaddurfi clashed loudly, metal sparking in the night. With energy belying her age, Magda scrambled past. The smallest of the invaders, captivated by the nearby combat, did nothing as she collected her bleeding husband and helped him toward the garages and escape. While the Obreks fled, the lead attacker at last found the errant rifle. He tried to draw a bead on the dueling rescuer, but again, his facial wrappings were askew, preventing it. Ahead, the Gaddurfi duel drew to a close. The Obrek's would-be hero caught his opponent under the arm with the flange of the weapon, producing a high-pitched and very human squeal. Enough! The lead invader ripped off his bandages and night vision goggles and raised his rifle. Eyes unfettered at last, Orin Galt looked into the face of the Obrek's savior. Ben Kenobi. Orin stared in the darkness, unbelieving for a second. You! Then he fired. Ben spun, somehow using the Gaddurfi to deflect the shot. The bolt sizzled past Orin to strike one of the porch supports, right above the head of the smallest would-be Tusken. Startled, the boy turned to run. Come on, Orin! Orin fired again. Behind Ben, Orin saw the other two invaders standing, one helping the other. When Ben deflected the second blaster shot, they started to move toward him. Ben turned to look back. Don't try it, Mullen, he said. Masquerade's over. On the far side of Orin, a dome opened. The Obrek repulsor truck peeled out, Magda at the controls. The vehicle swerved violently away from the house and turned east. The barracks were that way, Orin knew, and more sentries. His kids knew it too. Dad, go! With that, Mullen and Vika took off, heading behind the house. Ben looked back with satisfaction, and then stared directly at Orin. I noticed something today. You don't do so well alone. Orin turned and ran. In the blackness to the north, Orin saw two sand people rocketing away on speeder bikes. A surreal sight, but one that meant that Mullen and Vika had escaped. His heart pounding, Orin hastened over the dunes to the west.
Why did I park so far away?
Breathless, he glanced behind him. He'd lost his rifle tumbling over the side of a dune, and he wasn't going back for it. Especially not now, as Ben appeared over the rise. The man dropped Mullen's Gaddurfi in the sand. Orin patted at his chest as he ran. He'd replaced his pistol since the afternoon in the hut's abode, but he wasn't about to try to fish for it in the folds of the stupid Tusken garb. Not when his speeder bike was there, its engine already running, thanks to his young assistant. Mask discarded, Jabe Calwell stood between the bikes, frightened out of his wits.
Orin, hurry! He yelled. He's coming!
Orin looked quickly behind him. Ben was still on top of the crest yelling something.
Orin, watch out!
Orin decided he wasn't falling for that. He reached the speeder bike. And in that instant, four figures arose from the night lunging at them. Real sand people. Two Tuskens grabbed at Jabe, yanking him down to the darkness. Another charged at Orin, striking the back of his speeder bike with a Gaddafi. The hovering vehicle spiraled on the air toward him. Without another thought, Orin leapt onto it. The bike continued to spin with him aboard, and the world spun in Orin's mind too. He saw Kenobi, still frozen on the hillside. He saw Jabe, clawing at the air in vain as one captor raised a rock to strike him. And he saw the fourth Tusken charging him, Gaddafi held high. Plug-eye! Orin squeezed the throttle and vanished into the night. Chapter 37. Annalene wearily paced the floor of the darkened store. Another night, another missing child. What else was new? She didn't know what was keeping Jabe, but at least this time, she knew where he was, or thought she did. Orin had driven his kids and Jabe to the Galt Ranch. Callie had continued onward to the claim, as promised. Annalene's exhausted daughter had shared that much before heading back to the residence to collapse. But it was nearing midnight, and no one was answering her pages at the Galt place. She'd even tried to reach Orin on the red comlink, but something must have been wrong with the subspace network. All she heard on the other side were grunts, sounds like the Gamorreans had made in her store. A wrong connection, to be sure. Who knew Gamorreans even carried comlinks? At least this time she could worry in peace. The store had been empty when Annalene returned from Ben's. Tarlup had closed the claim on schedule, which was more than she could do most nights. The Shistavanen clerk was staying with a friend locally and would drop off the passkeys in the morning. Annalene reminded herself to thank him. As tightly as she ran the claim, she had to admit, Tar would make a decent manager of his own place someday. The moons shone outside the window behind the counter, casting the interior contours of the claim into bluish shadow. Annalene sighed. The store always seemed so much friendlier at night. During the days, it was either trying to kill her with stress or bore her to death. There was no middle path. She'd grown accustomed over the years to the fact that nothing was ever going to change. Sure, there would be some trends amid the daily disasters and intermittent doldrums. Jabe and Callie would present new and difficult challenges. The customers would become harder to take, and there would continue